The company that operated a lead acid battery recycling plant in the small town of Vernon has proposed a bankruptcy plan that's being heavily criticized by nearby residents and by the state of California. The question is, through this bankruptcy plan, will the owners of Exide Technologies be forced to clean up the site of their toxic factory where the ground is contaminated, as well as clean up contaminated residential properties? With us, Los Angeles Times environmental reporter Tony Barboza has been covering this story for years. Tony, I understand you've been closely following this meeting on the bankruptcy plan this morning. What's the latest?
Thanks, Larry. Yes, there's a bankruptcy court hearing underway as we speak by a Delaware judge, where you have questioning going on about what will become of this facility in Vernon, which is about a 15-acre site that is blamed for spreading lead dust pollution across many thousands of homes.
And what are the financial resources of the company to not just remediate the site, but to provide some sort of a fund to clean up the residential properties?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the company is going through a liquidation, meaning, you know, that it has more liabilities than it does assets. So, and from my understanding, the way it works under California law is that you kind of put all the creditors in a line, and the environmental obligations and the state agencies are kind of pretty far back, almost last in that line. So this process allows the company to erase its debt, and under the plan that they've filed, which has been supported by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Justice, they could walk away from the site and not pay any more toward the cleanup.
And so what kind of an estimated bill would that leave the state of California to remediate all these properties?
Yeah, so the state has already set aside about $270 million, and that's mostly to clean up homes where yards are contaminated with lead. And the state estimates that it would cost between $70 to $100 million just to finish cleaning up the battery recycling plant itself.
And Exide has other facilities across the country, right? Are they all part of this bankruptcy plan?
That's correct. Exide is a company that operated battery recycling and manufacturing across several states. And this process would leave behind other properties that are also closed or have similar environmental threats. But this is probably the most contentious one just because of the size and scope of the contamination here.
And what are the feds, what are they saying about, you know, why do they think that this is the best they're going to be able to get in the bankruptcy court?
Yeah, in court filings, they argue that this is the best deal for, you know, they're seeking to salvage a bad situation and avoid what they call a chaotic abandonment. Under their plan, California would have to agree not to sue anybody, basically release liability. In exchange, they would get about $2.5 million, and the property would be placed into what's called an environmental response trust that would kind of own it and be responsible for overseeing the cleanup. California has refused to do that. They don't think that this is a good deal for the state.
And the factory is still standing on the property, right?
Correct. It's still there. If you were to drive by, you would see a large, you know, the remnants of a large industrial facility that's partially enclosed in essentially a white plastic tent. And inside of that, it's an enclosure that's designed to keep lead, arsenic, and other pollutions from being released outside of this the facility.
And during the years of operation, how did the lead get out into the larger community? Were there, you know, stacks that were emitting that, or windborne? How did it move off site?
Yeah, it was both. You know, this was a site that they can trace back operations there to the 1920s. So for decades, it operated without any environmental regulation, you know, predating the Clean Air Act and all the laws that we currently have on the books regulating air pollution. But even since then, you know, it was even within the last 10 years, you know, that they had a lot of problems with releasing fugitive lead dust, you know, dust that gets blown and not just out of the stacks, but also just out of the facility in general into the community. And so they had a whole history of exceeding pollution limits and, you know, ultimately resulted in the plant getting shut down permanently 5 years ago.
LA Times environment reporter Tony Barbosa with us. He's right now just stepped out of this bankruptcy hearing that's taking place in Delaware involving the owners of Exide Technologies, which operated for decades this Vernon battery recycling plant, which has been a huge polluter of lead throughout the residential community. East Los Angeles, Boyle Heights, and other communities, thousands of homes where unhealthful levels of lead have been found on those properties. Tony, what is it the State Department of Toxic Substance Control is trying to get, or other California agencies, what do they want the bankruptcy judge to do?
No, their concern is about this site being abandoned and there being no one to maintain what's a very costly setup to just try to keep lead from being released. You know, the company itself said it takes about $750,000 a month to maintain and secure that tent, you know, essentially tent enclosure that goes over it. So they're seeking a deal where they not, you know, where they don't get California taxpayers saddled with all the costs and they don't see an abandonment of the facility. But what we hear from experts on bankruptcy is that they don't really have, you know, a lot of, you know, they don't have a lot of much priority in the process, which really puts a priority on the company's creditors. So they don't, you know, they have made some late, you know, attempts to try to sway the process. They made a finding earlier this week that the factory, that the facility posed an imminent threat to public health. And so, you know, they're in court today arguing that it's going to be a very problematic to leave this site without anyone responsible.
And under the law, Tony, do you know, can the judge say, even though the law allows the creditors of the company to get their what they're owed first, can the judge supersede what the law says and instead move remediation of the sites higher on the list?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Unfortunately, it's a little bit outside of my expertise. I think we'll learn that, you know, in these proceedings, but I can't say for sure if that's possible.
Tony, we'll let you get back to it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your stepping out to do this as you're covering this story.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Tony Barbosa of the Los Angeles Times, environmental reporter. And Tony has talked with us about, I don't know how many years this Exide disaster goes back, you know, so many years. And he's been covering this story for a very long time. Also joining us, Boyle Heights resident and a member of Communities for a Better Environment and East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice, Idalmis Vaquero, who joins us to talk about this. Thank you very much for being with us. Share with us what you hope comes out of this bankruptcy hearing.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on your show. What we hope ends up happening is that Exide is held accountable for the thousands of dollars and millions of dollars that they still need to pay so that there's a safe and effective remediation of the facility and also our homes, which have been contaminated over 30 years by this company.
There's been, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, please finish.
So we're really hoping that they pay up for what they caused.
Now, I know that some of the properties there were cleaned up, but there are reportedly thousands of others that have levels of lead that are deeply concerning. So has the state given any time frame to your knowledge for cleaning up all the properties?
No, there is no time frame that the Department of Toxic Substances Control has given us. There are still over 8,000 homes that still need to be cleaned up. And like you mentioned, there are homes with alarming levels of lead, some of them over 1,000. But what we know is that there is no safe level of lead. And so every day that passes without effective cleanup, we are left with this threat of environmental lead contamination.
How far does the contamination extend, just, you know, miles from the plant? What's the estimated reach of the lead?
Yeah, so the Department of Toxic Substances Control says that the lead is up to 1.7 miles of the facility, and that's a radius But what we know is that lead doesn't just stop at 1.7 miles. It actually, you know, continues to spread throughout the area. And so while there's 10,000 homes that the state has deemed as contaminated, our communities know that this is far more far-reaching than 10,000 homes. And so the impact is very huge.
We're talking with Edelmis Vaquero, who's a resident of Boyle Heights, one of the communities that is centrally affected by the toxic pollution of lead from the Exide Technologies battery recycling plant, which is no longer operating. The factory is mothballed, and the owner's going through this bankruptcy hearing taking place right now in Delaware to determine what happens with that property, and then beyond that property, what Ms. Vaquero was talking about, the cleanup of all the residential properties more than a mile away that are affected by this. Let's talk with Liz in Southgate. Liz, you're on Air Talk. What are you hoping to see with this hearing?
I hope that their bankruptcy gets denied. This is really a slap in our face. I grew up in Huntington Park within the fallout zone, and it's just really disheartening to know that people in our community have been poisoned by this company. You know, the state supposedly set aside money for the cleanup, but it's our tax dollars. And some of the cleanup, it also came out, the money came out from taxing batteries. So in essence, we're already paying for the cleanup that this company did and through all the years that they operated.
Liz, you're describing how difficult this is for residents to deal with. Can you share what it was like for you, you know, growing up in an area that once you learned that there was, once residents knew there was toxic contamination, how that affected what you did at your home?
It's alarming. I don't live in Huntington Park anymore, but my family's still there. And so throughout the whole process, all these regulatory agencies let us down. They knew that Exide was operating, that they weren't containing their hazardous materials, that they had numerous spills throughout their company. And all they got were slapped in the wrist, you know, just a few fines here and there that, you know, meant nothing to them. They never really came down on them like they should have. They operated with a conditional use permit.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Liz, because they didn't have the full permit from the state of California. And Edelmis Vaquero was talking about how the state also dropped the ball on the regulation of this factory. We reached out to the owners of Exide, and we didn't receive a response for them, but did attempt to get their input on our conversation. Liz, thank you for sharing your experience. I understand that you volunteer for a local organization that has been fighting the Exide plant. I also want to thank Tony Barboza of the Los Angeles Times and Boyle Heights resident, member of Communities for a Better Environment, and East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice, Edelmis Vaquero. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, as we're trying to do each day in these very difficult times, have something a little bit lighter that we can talk about as listeners. So today it is the sort of comfort TV. What do you turn to give you a break from the pandemic, from all the political rancor that's going on? What kind of television do you seek out? We're at 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. Comfort television. We'll be back in 90 seconds on Air Talk.